Good to see everyone out this morning. Hope you had a good week. Hope you have a good week this week. If you're following along this morning, we'll be in Daniel, the third chapter. Be looking at the 1 through 30 as the verses there. As an interesting newspaper account, it kind of mirrors what we're going to look at this morning. It's fire investigators on Maui determined that the cause of a blaze that destroyed a $127,000 home last month was a short in the homeowner's newly installed fire alarm system. "This is even worse than last year," said the distraught homeowner, the report went on, "when someone broke in and stole my security system." So he wasn't having a lot of luck with things we kind of rely on to protect us. But this morning we're going to look at three men who had a lot of faith in God. Now we normally kind of share this with our children, and it kind of becomes a children's story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I've kind of alluded to them several times in the past few weeks, so I thought it would be good to really look at these three men of faith and look at their story. Now, of course, we know that they were in the burning fiery furnace, and it's a favorite Old Testament story, and it's enjoyed much popularity even in the Christian church in the first generation in Rome, because they were being persecuted and put to the flame for their faith. The story was painted even in the catacombs by believers persecuted by the Romans, and has been an inspiration to all who have ever been oppressed by those for their faith. It's a story of rugged faith and uncompromising faithfulness to God. And the interesting thing is that they never wavered from that, even to the point where even if God did nothing to get them out of their situation, they were going to have faith in Him. Now, we first meet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 1, where friends of Daniel, they refused to defile themselves with the tainted raw food and wine. And now their commitment was again to be challenged in chapter 3. And perhaps this tells us that one spiritual victory is not the end. We have many spiritual victories we can win in our lives. And each and every day could be a test of that faith. Each day sometimes it looks like there's a different mountain to climb. Each day we're subject to being tempted to give up on God and to deny Him and not serve Him anymore. We can find a lot of encouragement and help when we look and focus upon these brave men who honored the Lord in their time of fierce testing. So this morning we look and we see the challenge that they face. Let's read our scripture here before we get too far. Chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 1. "King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image. He had set up, so the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image of King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, 'This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace.' Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Verse 8, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve will be able to save us from it, or he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. That brings us through to 18. Now, we know that Nebuchadnezzar had the vision, and Daniel told him about the vision, and that vision was of the kingdom to come. But Nebuchadnezzar, in his own pride, looked at that and created a statue unto himself that mirrored that. He saw himself as that king, and he wanted to live forever. All the high officials had been summoned and to dedicate it and to bow down and to worship for it. But it was also an occasion for them to show what they were made of. These men of faith did not bow down, even in the face of death. And that was a command. There was nothing hidden from them. No one told them, well, we don't know what's going to happen, but maybe it's best you bow down to it. They knew exactly what the penalty and the punishment was going to be if they did not bow down and worship that statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we don't know where Daniel is at this time. It's not recorded exactly where he's at. You know, he may have been on a mission or something like that for the king, but I expect that his friends probably missed him terribly. They were on their own, and they had to make their own stand without his guidance with them. But they made a stand based upon serving God and not just following Daniel. So they faced, without aid of the person, probably the kind of the leader of the gang, so to speak, not being there to guide the way. And yet they stood up and said that whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But we're not going to worship what you want us to worship, Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to worship you or your gods or anything. So it was something in that that caused them to turn away from that. They turned away from those gods and stuff. And that's their faith that they had in God, unwavering until that time. So it was a challenge they had to face in their life. And it was a problem that was not going to go away. We face problems in life, and hopefully they go away, but sometimes, some problems, we have to just plow right on through it because they're not going to go away. And if we plow through them with faith, then like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're going to come out on the other side with God on our side. A poet, James Russell Lowell, put it like this. Once to every man and nation comes a moment to decide. Some great cause, God's new Messiah, offering each bloom or blight. Plus the goat upon the left hand and the sheep upon the right. And the choice goes by forever. Twixt the darkness and that light. And he really kind of put it poetically in that way that there are times in our lives we have to decide who we are going to follow in this life, no matter what the odds are. You know, this morning we talked about Isaiah and how John, in a symbolic sense, was going to make the fill the valleys in and knock the mountains down and make all the roads straight and the path just right for Jesus. And in a sense he did, in a symbolic way, because he ushered the way of Christ coming into this world. And he showed the way. He made the path just a little bit easier. But that's not what really happened. And in the end, poor John died for his faith, his belief. and is calling sin what it is, an abomination unto God. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. They refused to denounce God and His commands. They refused to follow the crowds. In other words, these were the only three men that didn't bow down to Him. The only three. That's a lonely feeling when you stand there for God and no one else believes you and no one else is going to go with you. And when you have to stand up and no one says amen or hear, hear, when you speak of God and others ridicule you, that's a lonely feeling to be in that way. But they refused to follow that crowd. Here was the courage of the highest order that they had in them. But the story doesn't end there, because it tells that them that Nebuchadnezzar offered them a second chance. And we go on from there. And they said still they weren't. They were not going to change their mind. You know, some people might, in a fit of bravery, kind of like Peter, say that. But when challenged, they back down. They back down in the face of repeated challenges of their faith. But not these men. They refused to compromise. He ordered the rebels to be brought before him. He recognized them as Jews. And he had recently honored and was prepared to give them the benefit of the doubt. He wasn't going to take it on the testimony of his other officials. He wanted to hear from their mouth their testimony. And they freely gave up. In honesty and faithfulness to the Scriptures, they answered him the only way God's Scripture would let them. They would have none of what the king was proposing there. It marked their characteristics. It showed really who they were. God's people are not called to go out of their way to be martyrs, but they have to be ready to make a stand if needed. You know, Paul avoided the officials as much as he could, but they finally caught up with him. He wasn't going to stop spreading the gospel, but he wasn't going to walk into the jail. But nevertheless, he was willing to be a martyr for the cause. They were following in the tradition of Moses by faith. When he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. From Hebrews 11, verses 24 and 25. And then there was Jesus, who was sorely tempted in the wilderness, rejecting his godhood state, humbling himself to what he needed to do for you and me. This is the traditions that they were following. Just like Moses, who refused to take the easy life, who refused to shirk his responsibility and say, well, I've got my problem solved, let them solve their problem. Moses saw his people's problem as his problem too and joined them in their problem. And that's what we need to do. When we share together, not only do we share in the good times, but we share in the bad times that our fold is going through. Things that people are going through as far as uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen, all these things. That's what Moses wanted to share in. He wasn't going to be, you know, taking that role as Pharaoh's daughter's son, to maybe be Pharaoh someday himself, to be the leader of such a great nation as Egypt in that time. They also possessed a great deal of confidence. He threw down the challenge, Nebuchadnezzar the king, and they were ready to meet it. They didn't shirk, they didn't run away, but they went face to face and toe to toe with man with all the power in that kingdom. Who's the God that's going to deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar said. That's the arrogance of the king. He sees this vision, Daniel interprets it for him. He goes and creates a statue and says, that's me. Now worship it. And he tells these men, how can you escape my punishment? I hold all the power, all the cards here. He'll just call a bunch of guards to come in and throw you into a fire. Nebuchadnezzar could do whatever he wanted to these men, and he would not face any kind of retribution for it. He would not be impeached as the president could be impeached. He could not go to jail, as other officials have gone to jail whenever they've broken the law. He was the law. Whatever he said was going to go at that time. They said, "The God we serve is able to lure us in the fire and will rescue us from your hand, O King." God was their God, and that's all they knew, and that's all they cared about. The faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was unquestioning. You could not see a chink in their armor. You could not see a waver in what they told the king. To them, their God was omnipotent. He was all-powerful and all-seeing, and nothing was going to happen to them that God was not watching over, God was not taking care of, and whatever was going to be was going to be. Flames and great kings meant nothing to them. He could deliver them. The basis of their confidence was that trust in God. He fed Elijah in time of famine and doubt. They knew about that. They knew that they were delivered from the Egyptians. They knew that God had carried them this far, and whatever was going to happen was going to happen. The young men also had confidence in the purpose of God. Here we have some magnificent words. Our God can deliver, but if not, they were saying that even if they burnt to a crisp in that oven, that was God's will. God is God. And that's what so many people can't get or wrap their minds around, is that God is God. They look out there and say, "God, how can you punish this? How can you do this? How can you do that?" Why, loving God wouldn't do that. But God is God, and in His wisdom and in His love, He has found a way to save each and every one of us if we'll just accept His word and follow it. Accept like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and trust God like a child trusts their parents and believes in their parents. Then God can deliver us from everything in life. What a great statement to make in their life. What a statement in our lives that we can make, that no matter what happens to me, in the end, God is going to bring me to a home in heaven where all this life and all the problems of this life mean nothing. All the worry, all the pain, all the suffering, all the loss, all the uncertainty is gone. That's our ultimate state with God if we follow Him. If we'll be like these three men of faith. You know, one of the early church fathers in the century following the New Testament, he had a similar experience. Polycarp of Smyrna was brought before the Roman authorities and told to curse Christ and he would be released. That's all he had to do, was deny Christ and he could have his life and run around and live his life the way he did. He replied, 86 years I have served him and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The Roman officer replied, unless you change your mind, I'll have you burnt. But Polycarp said, you threaten a fire that burns for an hour, and after a while is quenched. But you are ignorant of the judgment to come, and of the everlasting punishment reserved for the ungodly. Do what you wish. That's Polycarp's last words to that official who held his life in his hand. Now do what you wish, because it doesn't matter to me. We know that God is able to save, we know that He's able to heal, we know that He's able to deliver from all temptation. He is able. But we have a God who may not always save us from everything that we go through life. And it's kind of a hard saying. And yet faith in God is more important than faith in anything else in this world. Ultimately, faith must rest in the character of God, irrespective of what He does or does not. Faith is not based on all the good times God gives us. It's not based on our great health. It's not based upon our monetary gain. It's not based on that, because if it's based on that, then as soon as that goes away, our faith is gone. Faith is based upon the fact that no matter what happens, that if we go on from this earth in a painful manner similar to what they were going to face here, that our faith would still be strong in God, because God is God. And our faith in that time, and their faith, if they would have went to the fire and burned, and just like the faith of Polycarp, and just like the faith of all those Christians who were burned at the stake, who sang hymns while they were being roasted on a fire for their faith. They gave faith to others. They strengthened others to do the same. They tried to crush Christianity in the early days, but they couldn't crush it because of faith like that. The devil accused God of creating Job's faith by his monetary gain. God said, that's not why he follows me. He follows me for faith and faith alone, because I am God. And that today we need to realize that not everything is going to turn out perfect. Not every bad time is going to be resolved. And in the end, each and every one of us is going to have to go to God and answer to God for our activities in life if we don't have the blood of Christ covering us. And we can have faith in that, that no matter what happens, no matter how bad life is, that we have that. You know, everyone knows Nelson, and a lot of us know Vonnell or have known Vonnell. She lived, Nelson said, the last 40 years of her life from cancer to cancer to cancer, and suffered and suffered and suffered. And yet, she never gave up her faith or turned her back on God. You know, a lot of us are not going to have that bad of a time. But inspiration like that causes us to be able to go through the bad times we do. And that faith that can go through all the awful times, the rough times, the times of uncertainty just like that, and come out on the other side to walk through that veil into the hands of God, to rest in His bosom, never to suffer again, to be a mountain of faith in this life for everyone around her. There are stories in the book of Daniel. It's an important reminder to us today that faithfulness to God may result in problems. In fact, it's not going to win us any awards in this life. It didn't for them, and it doesn't today, where it's thought of as just a superstition. You know, refusal to conform to what the world pattern out there is brings us trouble and loss sometimes. But surely it's better to accept the narrow way that leads to eternal gain rather than to follow the way of the world, where this world is our only reward, and then we go to God. Postoff had the right idea. He knew that fire was going to quench his life very shortly, but that the fires of hell go on forever and ever and ever. You know, if a man has a life sentence and he's in a prison, he at least knows someday that he is going to die and not be in that prison anymore. He may not know what else is out there, but he's free from that prison. But that's not so. 10,000 years of burning in hell, and there's not going to be one less day. There's not one day you can take off the calendar, because every time you strike a day off of that calendar gets a day added to it on the end. And that day of punishment will never end. God provided a way for us to escape that. And as horrible as that punishment is, you still have people that say, well, it's not fair that people are punished that way just for disobeying God. They're not even afraid of that. God has a purpose for us to follow Him. You know, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him, with Job's words in the 13th chapter of Job, verse 15. Though He slay me, I will trust Him. And that's the faith we need to have in God today, that no matter what happens, how dire, how bad, no matter what goes on with ourselves, the people we know in life and love and trust and all those kind of things, that God is in control. And that's the measure of faith. What is the strongest measure of faith you can give something? You know, they test stuff out there, and you know, concrete, they'll try to crush it, and it has to withstand so many foot-pounds of pressure before it crushes, before they'll say, well, that's a good batch of concrete that they built the bridge with, and it should stand. It should be able to take the loads that we say it's going to take. Well, what's the ultimate test of faith? Now, I'm not saying we should go looking for it, but the ultimate test of faith is that even at the end, when there seems no hope, and life is being taken away from us, we still have faith in God and what He promised to us. That nothing on this earth, that we followed God for anything on this earth. Our faith was not based on what we had, but what we're going to have. You know, they were in the fire, but they weren't alone, for the Lord was there with them. Even though they were thrown in the fire, they still had there. And there was that great testimony that when they were brought out of that fire, this is a testimony of faithful Christians that we see each and every day, who despite all their problems still have faith in God, inspires others, and how their faith inspires them. You know, they showed what it's like to have true faith, complete faith, and absolute faith in God. Daniel 3:16, they replied to the king, "We don't need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace." Verse 18, "But even if he does not, let it be known to you that we don't serve you." That was their absolute last word on that. And that should be our absolute last word in this life. That like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like faithful Christians we saw suffer all their lives, like early church fathers like Polycarp, that we realize and we trust God that the flames of the disobedient burn longer and hotter than any flame that we might go through on this earth, be it real persecution, be it illness or whatever, pale in comparison to the beauty and love that we'll experience in eternity with God. That's the faith we need to have, the faith of a vision in salvation, and the faith of a better day when none of this is going to matter anymore to us, and that eternity is there for us. That's the promise he holds out there, that he holds out for those who, through the test of their faith, are proven strong, like these men here. I don't know what your condition is this morning, or if you need the church in any kind of way, but won't you come as we stand and sing song invitation?